Hey everybody! Welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, a Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest, and today's episode is Season 2, Episode 12, Fitting Punishment. Now before we get going with the episode, I want to give a shout out to my friend Joe from the Discography Discussion podcast. He recently hooked me up with a new pop filter for my microphone, so that's what I'm using today to record this episode. So thanks, Joe. So let's go ahead and get into this episode, Fitting Punishment. As always, John Kassir is the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. This episode was directed by Jack Scholder, who also directed A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. And the screenplay was written by Jonathan David Kahn, Michael Alan Kahn, and Don Mancini. This stars Moses Gunn from TV's A Man Called Hawk, John Clare from Children of the Corn 2, Urban Harvest, and Teddy Wilson from TV's Good Times and Life Stinks. The air date for this episode is June 19th, 1990, and the description for this episode out of the complete second season DVD disc is, "Business is dead, and that's good. A funeral home director has a disrespectful way of treating his clients." And he really does. We'll get into that. So this one opens up with the Crypt Keeper. He's shooting some hoops in a basket, in a basketball net. And he's got his little uniform on, and oh, he's shooting skulls, apparently. I thought it was a basketball. Nope, it is a skull. And so he's talking about, you know, just opening up the episode and everything, and making his own puns and jokes and all that fun stuff. And yeah, he's got a whole bunch of skulls there and candles, and it's really great how they set up the crypts. They're so different each time. It's great. So it opens up to Fitting Punishment here, and it starts out, we're outside the Thorntonberry Funeral Home. And you can hear them singing Rock of Ages. To a very, very bad tuned organ. It's not too bad. It's just there's only like 8 people at this funeral, so it's not super uplifting. But it's fine. So Rock of Ages is played a lot in this episode. But it starts out, Ezra is a mortician and funeral director in a small town, and he is giving this funeral for, I think, this younger girl, and he's got the family there. He really plays with the grief of people and then uses that to, you know, get them to spend more money. And so he's like comforting them and everything and you know, trying to make it, you know, real nice and stuff. And so while he's doing this funeral, a pickup truck shows up on the outside, and a kid, who's probably like 15, 16, gets out, and all he's got, you know, is his little suitcase and some stuff, you know, and he's heading over to the funeral home. And so he comes in and kind of interrupts this funeral. He didn't mean to, but he, like, you know, he sets his luggage down, and there's only like 10 people in this funeral, so everyone hears it. So Ezra walks all the people out of the funeral and everything, and is comforting, like, the mother of the deceased and things like that. And his last name is actually Thorntonberry. So it's Ezra Thorntonberry. The best part, something he does, after each funeral, he'll shut this little blue curtain. And that's usually when he's about ready to, like, throw it down. Like, he's, like, he'll put the curtain down and then, like, tell the organ guy to just stop playing the freaking organ. And then, like, just kind of throw the body together and all this stuff. And he's like, I'll meet you guys at the cemetery, you know. And so Ezra's like, who's this kid? And he walks up to the kid who's standing there, and he finds out that this is his nephew, Bobby.
I'm Bobby. Your nephew? Your sister Ruby's kid.
Oh, my sister Ruby. Well, you can tell that no good sister.
She's dead, Uncle Ezra.
Bobby is there because Mr. Thorntonberry is his only last remaining member of his family, and his parents recently died in a car accident. He's like, really? Oh, she's dead? Like, right in front of him. That's his mother and father. And Ezra's just like, cool, he's dead. And yeah, so Bobby's like, yeah, she got in a head-on collision and with his father, too, and they both died. So this poor kid is like, you know, 15, 16. He's actually a really respectful kid. He's very nice. He seems like a good kid. And so that's why this is, like, hard, because he's like, he probably don't want to be there either. You know, he has nowhere else to go, at least until he's probably 18. So he's like, well, I guess I'll do this. And so right away, Ezra's like, well, you can't stay here. I don't have any more room for, and any, I don't want any more mouths to feed. Like I said, he's kind of a cheapskate, so he, you know, he doesn't like to spend any money, turning all the lights off all the time, and trying anything he can to save money. So he's getting ready to take this body, like right in front of his nephew, of this girl, over to the cemetery. But before he does, he removes the gold teeth out of her mouth. And I'm like, yeah. And so he does it like right in front of the kid. So like what he does is normally, you know, he gets the body all ready. And then after the funeral, in between that, when him and the other guy that helps him, who plays the organ, gets the stuff together, he will go over and make sure, like, I guess he takes maybe the rings and stuff too. But yeah, he like pulled out her gold tooth. Cause I guess you can turn that in. I don't know. I think someone would be suspicious if you bring a gold tooth to someone. But for some reason, he wants it. And so basically, Bobby has kind of begged his way into staying there. He's like, I'll do anything you want, Uncle Ezra. I'll wash your floors. I'll clean your piano. And so he's kind of like thinking, you know, this kid's young and strong and he can help me with, you know, a lot of stuff in the funeral business. And I'm not going to pay you, but this will be, you know, you'll get room and board. And he's like, cool, you know, awesome. I'll take it, you know, because he has nowhere else to go. This poor kid basically showed up in a pair of overalls and a shirt with a jacket. And he's got a little suitcase and a basketball. And that's all he has with him. Little suitcase. And it's all the stuff he has in the world. And when he gets there, you know, Ezra, like Uncle Ezra is showing him to his room. And what his room is this abandoned like gurney on wheels, like a cot thing. And he's like, there's your bed. But he's like, you know, put some bedding on it. You'll be fine. It's fine. He also tells Bobby, don't touch the lights. You know, electricity costs money. So like, just live in this dark room on this dead cot thing where other bodies have been. Don't bounce your basketball and don't do anything. And I guess it's summer or something. They don't really touch on if he goes to school or not, but, you know, maybe he does. I don't know. So Ezra, you know, has an idea of what he wants Bobby to be doing for him. And so he takes him downstairs to where they do all the preserving of the bodies. And this part's pretty gross because Ezra kind of likes to cut corners when it comes to preparing the dead. And so he does everything he can to do that. And so he wants to teach Bobby all about this. He's going to have Bobby start being like the embalmer and things like that. Which I was like, geez, if you really think about it, he probably just got done seeing his parents who were dead. You know, it's like now he's going to do this stuff. Like, that's hard. But he, you know, he just kind of does what he has to. And so he takes him downstairs and it's this basement looking thing. And there's a body there that's covered up on a wheeled gurney. And then there's like the sink and lights and shelves. And the floor is like super bloody. Like it's dried blood, but it's definitely like right away. It's like, well, this ain't super clean, but I guess he doesn't really care. They're dead, whatever. And so he starts showing Bobby all this stuff on how he likes to embalm bodies. And he kind of is acting like Bobby should be impressed that he saves all this money. And Bobby's just like, what is happening? You know, like, he just has this look like, okay, try not to be sick, you know, just like whatever you want to do. So they pull the cover off the guy who's dead, and he's like, you know, Bobby's like, what did he die from?
What did he die of?
Natural causes. You know what I mean if you're ever fool enough to get married. Hand me one of those aspirators over there.
One of these?
Yeah. You know, the human body is one big cesspool. Food flows in, shit flows out, and blood flows all around.
So yeah, so he's teaching them how to do this. So this is how, and there's these metal, like, tube rods that he has. Like, kind of like the one, if you've ever seen, like, how they do, like, a liposuction or something. It's like one of those metal suck rod things, and they'll, like, stick it in there, and, like, everyone, it's, like, horrific. So it's that. So it's, like, this thing that's going to go to, it can hook onto these rubber tubes that he's going to use to, like, put the embalming fluid into the body. So this part, I mean, is pretty gross, because he just shows the kid, he just grabs this guy's leg and just jams it right into the body, and they show it right into the vein there, and you're like, huh, and, you know, like, and then like this blood just starts coming out, and it's really gross, actually. It's not fun, and it starts going down the drain, and kid's like, ugh, and then Ezra's like, it's only blood, you know. And so he takes another rod and he sticks it up like in his neck. Ugh, it's so bad. So basically what Ezra likes to do is because the body, he's like, the body will start to smell after a few days, so we need to embalm him, but chemicals cost money. So what he does is he hooks the tubes up to the sink and runs water through the body instead to flush out all the blood and other impurities in the body just with water. And so then he tries to do that, I think, as close to the funeral so that he, and, you know, I'm sure he puts like smelly stuff too, like potpourri or something in it, but he tries to do that too so that he can get the body through the funeral before it starts to decay, which really is like, I can see people doing that. Like, I can see people doing that, really. So, like, who's gonna really know, you know? But, you know, these people are paying for embalming services, so, you know, you should embalm them. At one point, Ezra, you know, he's feeling pretty proud of all his money-saving ways. And so he's like, because he likes to quote the Bible and things. And so he goes, like it says in the Bible, a penny saved is a penny earned. And I'm like, what? And then Bobby is like, wasn't that Benjamin Franklin? And then Ezra smacks him across the face, is like, don't contradict me, boy. And it's like, okay, that's the kind of person Ezra is. All right. So Bobby learns quickly to just keep his mouth shut and do what he's supposed to do. And so it cuts next to, he's taking him upstairs to the other guy that's helping him. There's another older man that helps Ezra. And they're ordering these coffins from some Chinese men, which I guess they get it, I don't know, some sort of wholesale thing. He only orders what they need. So he measures the body specifically. They don't have any like backup coffins that are around in the area taking up space. He just orders what they need. So he wants the measurements to be perfect. And so he takes his crowbar and he opens up the coffin and they're looking at it, you know. Apparently they're made from Taiwan, and he's saying that the coffins are 6 inches shorter. He charges full price for what people think is a full-size coffin, but I guess he tries to make it work if it's shorter. So it cuts to some time later, and Bobby's working as the embalmer. There's another body. He's downstairs. He's working on an older man. And then there's another body behind him. And so, you know, he's just working, and he's got some gloves and a little lab coat on. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing, you know, the way that Ezra showed him how to. And when he pulls the tube out from running the water through the body, he forgets. Oh, ew, it's gross. Sorry, it's like coming out of the guy's neck. The tube, it's gross. And so Ezra comes back down and he notices the faucet's dripping. And so he starts yelling at him and hitting him because, you know, water costs money. And it had just started dripping. It literally dripped like 10 drips. He's like, you know, clean this mess up. He's like, I don't have any disinfectant. And he's like, just use this. And I'm not sure what he gave him, but it wasn't disinfectant. And so eventually, Uncle Ezra has a problem with Bobby, and he calls him into the office. He tells him, you know, he's got some other jobs for him to do. So I guess he can get these coffins pretty quick. So like he would order it maybe the day or two before he needs it. And so Bobby goes downstairs and he sees that the coffin is supposed to be an oak coffin. So he knows that. So he'll put down oak. And it's kind of a neat tool. It's like it's just like a tape measure, but like it's got a circle in the end. So you hook that circle onto the dead person's toe, and then you pull it all the way up to the front, to the head, and it tells you how long he is. And I was like, oh, that's kind of clever. And so he measures him, and then it cuts to funeral, the kid or whatever, the younger guy. And so Ezra's consoling the father, and they're going over before the funeral to kind of look at the coffin. And, you know, he's like, here's the coffin, here's your son. He looks, you know, we cleaned him up and got him all nice. The father mentions, he's like, well, this box, I thought I ordered oak. And Ezra's like, no, this casket's made of pine. And he goes, well, I wanted oak. And so Ezra's like, you know, mad because he's like, well, Bobby ordered this or told me what it was supposed to be. And now I got the wrong coffin. So I'm losing money and I'm making the people mad. And this is going to cost me money. And so he's really mad. And he heads over to Bobby, who's popping open another crate with a coffin in it. And he's immediately yelling at him about doing the coffin wrong. And Bobby's like, well, Uncle, I told you to order oak. You know, of course, Ezra can't be wrong. So he's like, don't lie. And he's like, Uncle, I'm not lying. And then he's like, you know, I swear to God, I'm not lying. And he's like, don't use the Lord's name in vain. And so he said he's going to have to severely punish him.
Now you're going to have to be punished severely.
Now, Uncle, please, put your...
Ah! Oh!
Ah!
Get up!
Oh, help me!
Get up, I said! You got work to do!
My leg!
The hell with your legs! Get up, you're no good lying dog!
And this part's kind of creepy, like kind of weird, because he picks up that same crowbar and right away Bobby's face changes. He's like, what do you mean I gotta be punished? You know, like what's happening? And so Ezra beats him, you know, in the back and in the leg with this crowbar. And then he's like, get up, you got work to do. And Bobby's like, my leg. And so they call a doctor and the doctor says that Bobby has a severe spinal injury. You know, that he'll never walk again. And he's like, I don't know. You know, the doctor's a little suspicious because he's like, you know, how did this happen? Because it's a pretty bad injury, you know? And he's like, well, You know, he was just being careless and running around playing basketball and he fell down the stairs and, you know, and the doctor's like, mm-hmm. And so then later it does show Bobby like hobbling around on a, on crutches. And I'm like, okay, if he had a severe spinal injury and couldn't walk again, how is he able to stand upright and do crutches? Like, I would think he would have to at least be in a wheelchair, but he's in crutches. So maybe it's not as bad as they thought, or I don't know. But Ezra's getting all these bills and stuff for this kid, and I can't afford this. I don't want this kid around anymore. It's getting ridiculous. And so Bobby hobbles in on his crutches, and he's like,
where are my Air Jordans?
I sold.
You sold them?
Got a pretty good price for them, too.
How could you sell my shoes?
Don't you raise your voice at me, boy. Look at you. You're nothing but a helpless cripple. What are you going to do with shoes? All you're going to do is cost me money. You're nothing but a goddamn burden.
Well, you should have thought about that before you hit me with that crowbar.
Ah, oh, Air Jordans. I was like, that's definitely 1990s. And so Bobby's starting to get pretty irritated because he's like, you know, you're the one who beat me with the crowbar. So now Bobby's like, I'm going to call the sheriff's office. That's what I'm going to do. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you call the sheriff's office. You're going to go, you know, to the state hospital and you'll just go to waste and everything like that. And so Bobby's starting to get pretty irritated. And Ezra looks over and he's like, what am I going to do with this pine coffin? I still got to figure out. And then he kind of looks up at Bobby like, I got this pine coffin I need to get rid of. And I got this nephew I need to get rid of. Uh-oh. You know, so he starts coming up with a scheme on how to get rid of Bobby. And so one night Bobby's down, you know, cleaning up or doing what he can on his crutches in the basement, which really he should not be on those stairs, but he is. And he's starting to head back up the stairs and Ezra's kind of like calling for him upstairs. And when he gets to the top, Ezra throws the basketball at him and makes Bobby fall down the stairs and it kills him. He hits his head on the ground, you know, and it kills him. Bobby is dead and Ezra's like, cool, because now he can use his coffin because that's all he cares about. Kid is still in the outfit, like in his jeans and socks, and he embalms his own nephew like right there, you know, and of course they show it again and it's gross. And I mean, it's not quite embalming because he's not using chemicals, but he's cleaning up his he's preparing his nephew's body and he has no problems with it. He's just like, cool, whatever. And then he realizes, you know, this coffin is like 6 inches short, so he's like, well, what am I gonna do? So he decides he's gonna cut off Bobby's feet so he could fit him into the coffin. And, like, he doesn't lay a tarp down or anything. And he just hacks off his feet with, yeah, like, with the... Actually, not even a chainsaw. It's like a, oh, what's the... Like a handsaw? Like one of those, like the handsaw, like the rotating handsaws. And so, yeah, so he puts Bobby in the coffin. He does check his teeth, too. See if he had any goat fillings, you know. That didn't work out, so he was, you know, he's pretty bummed. He's not at all sad about this. He's like, cool, whatever. And so they show Bobby's funeral. And they're actually at the gravesite this time, and they're lowering the coffin down, and Ezra's standing there next to that doctor, and the doctor's like,
strange how he should happen to fall down the stairs again, isn't it, Mr. Thorntonberry?
Well, perhaps it's for the best. The boy was young and full of vigor. He would have made a miserable cripple.
Such a short coffin for a boy so tall.
And so it cuts back to a little time after. And I believe, yeah, Mr. Jeffries is quitting. You know, and he's like, what do you mean? You got work to do. And he's like, I know something happened to that boy. I can't prove it, but I know he did something and I don't want to be here anymore. And he's like, fine. Good, you know, good riddance. I don't want anything to do with you. And it's like, this is what happens when you're a mean person. Like, no one wants to be with you and you end up all alone. So now Ezra has to run this place by himself. And it's around midnight. I guess later that night, and the doorbell goes off, and he's like, who's here? Well, who would be over here? And he opens the door, and there's no one there. And he's like, all right, you know, sure. You know, he's thinking just people are ringing the doorbell and running away and stuff like that. So he's like, whatever. So he shuts the door and is inside. And he's just mad at people. He's like, people are just talking to me and doing things. I'm just sick of people. And he hears some noises downstairs now in the embalming room. And he's like, okay, now they're really messing with me. Someone's down there. You know, something's happening. And so he heads down there. And what he can hear is the faucet is dripping. And he's like, well, who would have left that on? And it's like, you, man. You. Like, you're the only one here, you know. So he goes over and turn it off. He's starting to head back up the stairs. And he's turning the lights off. And he gets to the top of the stairs. And the lights are on in the foyer. Yeah, he's thinking it's Mr. Jeffries, whose first name is Clyde. And so he's thinking he's coming back and, like, begging for his job, you know, turning all these lights on and stuff. And so, you know, he's mad because he's like, who's putting all these lights on? And so he turns the lights off. And then all of a sudden from behind him, he hears something else. And he's like, okay, well, maybe Clyde's trying to scare me. You know, is that what you think you're doing, Clyde? You know, Mr. Jeffries? And he's like, I don't scare easy, so bring it on. And then from one of the top stairs heading up to the upstairs of the place comes a basketball bouncing down the stairs. Now Ezra is a little freaked out. And so he picks up the basketball and he can see that the lights are flickering from downstairs in the embalming room. And he's like, what is happening? And then from behind, a foot kicks him in the butt and he goes falling down the stairs and he can't feel his legs now. And he does it pretty well. He's really freaking out because he realizes he can't feel his legs and he's losing it. So he's like, you know, oh my God, my legs. And he's down at the floor and no one can hear him. The lights are still flickering. And the foot that kicked him down the stairs is Bobby's foot. Bobby's pair of feet that are still in his Air Jordans for some reason. I guess he got them back in the afterlife. Are coming down the stairs. So it's kind of cool. They're like kind of bloody on top. And he's got the little like crew socks. And Mr. Thorntonberry's like, what? And he sees the shoes coming down. He's like, oh my God. And then from the side, there's like a cellar door leading into the embalming room. And you can see that Bobby is there. And it's cool because he's there and he's got his crutches. And he's got just two little hanging stumps. And it's kind of cool. He like heads down onto the thing. And in his hand, in one of his hands with the crutches is a crowbar. And he looks cool because he's got, I mean, it's not super like makeup-y or anything. But he's kind of got like real sunken in eyes and stuff with the makeup. And he's just coming down there and he's like not even talking or blinking. He's just, it's kind of cool. You know, he's coming down just on the crutches with the crowbar. And then his feet kind of run over and step on top of Ezra's chest to hold him down. And so he picks up the crowbar and he's like.
Like it says in the Bible, Uncle Ezra, blood is thicker than water.
Not him! And then he beats Ezra to death. And so Ezra gets what's coming to him. He can't believe what's happening. And that's the end of the episode. Don't kill your nephew and cut his feet off. That's the end. And so it cuts back to the Crypt Keeper who's lacing up his Air Jordans. Crypt Keeper, you're so punny. And the best Crypt Keeper pun is...
As for poor Bobby, he got a pretty nasty case of athlete's foot, didn't he? I mean, I've heard of Footloose, but yikes! Oh well, I guess the next best thing to making a goal is becoming a ghoul. Right, kiddies?
Okay, yeah, so that's it. That's season 2, episode 12, Fitting Punishment. There is just one thing of trivia from IMDb about this episode. Fitting Punishment is notably the only episode in the series with an all-African-American cast. So the next episode will be Season 2, Episode 13, Corman's Calamity, and that one's pretty fun. Thank you for listening to the Good Evening Kitties podcast. If you would like to email me with any questions or comments or things you want me to read about the Tales from the Crypt on the podcast, you can email me at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. I also have a Facebook page. If you look up the Good Evening Kitties podcast on Facebook and like the page, that'd be awesome. You can also rate, review, subscribe on iTunes or any other place where podcasts can be found. I would love some 5-star reviews on iTunes. I only have a couple right now, and I'd love to have more. Bring me up onto the charts. I really appreciate everyone's support. And again, thank you for listening.
I just had quite a scare.
This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood. Myopia Defend Your Childhood is so named because I believe we are short-sighted on the things we watched as kids. Every episode, we watch movies you watched when you were young, from animated to action, horror to hilarious. Further, this season, the last Thursday of the month, we're watching a TV show from the afternoons or Saturday mornings as a way to make sure all of your childhood is fully ruined. How will you stand when we put your past on trial?